The second scripture reading this morning is from John 1, verses 19 through 28. This is where the religious leaders, particularly Pharisees, are questioning John the Baptist as to who he is. Who are you? You're out there baptizing people with water? Who are you? They thought they were the authorities, so they should know what was going on. But listen to the words of John the Baptist. Now this was John's testimony when the Jews of Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. He did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, "I am not the Christ." They asked him, "Then who are you? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Finally, they said, "Who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, "I am the voice of one calling in the desert, make straight the way of the Lord." Now, when some Pharisees who had been sent questioned him, "Why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" "I baptize with water," John replied, "but among you stands one you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie." This all happened at Bethany on the other side of the Jordan, where John was baptizing. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word.
So they hear me in the fellowship hall, too. This song is absolutely beautiful and so quiet in its own way that when we, Loretta and I, appreciate the applause. But after this, just let the music ring in your ears.
Thanks, Les. Loretta. Appreciate it. What do doctors, interior decorators, and motivational speakers all have in common? It's not a joke. But they all want to fix something. The doctor wants to fix the patient. The interior decorator wants to kind of warm up whatever it is that's going on inside that home or that office or whatever it is and make it kind of come alive again in some way. They want to fix the aura of what's going on. Motivational speakers, they're trying to fix the way we look at life, aren't they? Because they're there to motivate us to continue on, to move on, to do whatever. So they all have the fact that they want to fix something in mind. All three. But notice in the case of all three of these, the temporary nature of what they're trying to fix. Doctors try to fix a body, but that body at some point is going to wear out. Eventually, our bodies are not going to last forever in their present form, and so we give way to death. Or we give way to other things, and some things the doctors can't fix. The house. I remember back when I was a kid, we had orange and olive carpet in the living room. And my older brother had shag carpeting in his bedroom. Years later, I thought, how ugly that was. But at the time, we thought it was cool. Both the orange shag carpet and the orange and olive colored carpet in the living room. But after a while, that kind of looks worn out, doesn't it? Motivational speakers, they can really encourage you for just a little bit and you can leave the event just all fired up and ready to go. But you know what? It doesn't last if all they have to share with you is something that doesn't go deeper than just the emotional level. You know, this year, more than perhaps any other year in recent memory, it's kind of nice to deck the halls, isn't it? Some people who refuse to get into the Christmas spirit before Thanksgiving were even doing it before Thanksgiving this year. And those who said, well, you don't do it until the 15th of December, many of them were doing it long before then because they wanted to have something that was pointing them in a real positive and good and joyful kind of direction that we weren't getting anywhere else with the world going on the way it was. People started decorating much earlier. Decking the halls was taking a place a lot earlier. Some of the radio stations that wouldn't play the Christmas carols until later in the season, if you hadn't noticed, some of them were playing them much earlier this year than they did in previous years. One of them was, I think it was Promise FM or Smile FM. One of them I was listening to, and they were getting input from some of their listeners. And they were saying, we just felt this year we needed to do this so that people could get into the Christmas spirit a little bit earlier because of everything that they were seeing and hearing. Hallmark loaded our TVs with Christmas movies, although I guess that's nothing different. Being I'm married to a Hallmark lover, I see a lot of those shows during the season. But still, there's something good about the Hallmark movie because you know in the end it's all going to work out, isn't it? And there's that Hallmark kiss at the very end. They hint at it maybe a half an hour before it's over, but something happens and the kiss doesn't take place. You know how that goes. I'm not mocking them. I love sitting there with my wife and watching a Hallmark movie. Maybe sometime I get a kiss after the movie anyway, you know. We needed a distraction, didn't we? A respite from all the news that we've been hearing. This whole deck the halls thing is something that we needed to do. But I still say, decking the halls is temporary. You decorate for Christmas, and after the New Year, or some even the day after Christmas, you take it all down. It seems so temporary. But there's news underneath the decking of the halls that is something that isn't temporary. It's permanent. It's eternal. And I want to encourage us this morning to looking at the decking the halls of our hearts this morning with something that can last forever and ever and ever. It is the good news of Jesus Christ that we talk about as the little babe in Bethlehem. And if you don't know the whole story, it's a cute little story to start with. But that cute little story takes a lot of twists and turns along the way until it gets to Good Friday. You think it's over, but folks, you could still deck the halls on Sunday because He rose from the dead. And He did all of that for you and for me. Isaiah, I believe, in this text was trying to talk to a hurting people and let them know that hope is coming. And this is not a hope like hopes in the past that came and went and came and went and came and went. This is a hope that springs eternal. We need the good news. Luke 4:18 quotes this Isaiah 61 verses 1 and part of verse 2. And Jesus in that text in Luke says, I have come to fulfill this. It has been fulfilled in your presence. Those who were gathered at the time that Jesus was sharing this in the synagogue, they're actually hearing from the very mouth of the person who fulfilled that. He's saying, this has been fulfilled in your presence. Proclaim it. Now, they didn't know yet in Luke chapter 4 the fullness of what was being fulfilled, but they had a glimpse of what was going on. Why was this so important for the hearers in Isaiah's day? Why was it so important for them to hear this? The exile was because of their sin. The abandonment of the promised land was because of their sin. They ignored the proclamations of God. They put themselves in the situation that they were in. This wasn't God's doing. This was their doing. And God said, you must be disciplined. You have disobeyed. You have rejected. And here's the consequences. But God, the loving Father that He is, the loving Daddy that He is to us, is not going to leave us stranded and alone and forget you. It's not the kind of God we have. Because He shares in the same text, the text that Jesus quoted when He says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. The Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to do what? Listen to this. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives. This is good news, folks. You and I fall into these categories, the broken and the captive, and release for the prisoners. Now, in other texts, it doesn't say it in those words in the NIV. It talks about the prisoners being the blind and they're being released from the darkness that they were in. You know, prisons themselves are very dark. And they're being released from that darkness to receive sight and light. It says, as we continue on, that mourners will be comforted. You see what this one who came to fulfill, and Jesus said it was Him. He says that in Luke chapter 4. He's telling us, not just those 700 years earlier, He's telling us He came so that we could deck the halls. When everything seems to be bad and awful and going in the wrong direction and all that kind of thing, He's telling us, you can deck the halls because I have bound up the brokenhearted and freed the captives, and the blind can now receive sight, or the prisoners released from their prison. The mourners would be comforted. This is good news. How appropriate in the world we live in today right now to hear this good news. We can deck the halls. It's not fake. It's not Christmas glitz. It's not multicolored lights and a bunch of ornaments. We can deck the halls of our heart because we truly have a reason to celebrate the fact that Christ was and is and always will be the answer. In Isaiah, he told them, it's coming. It's coming. And Luke said, it came. And we're the recipients of that good news. That's why we have every reason to have a smile on our face and joy in our hearts, no matter what it is that's going on in the world today. No matter what it is that's going on around us, we still can have that. We can deck the halls with something that is eternal and not something that is temporary. This is good news. It continues on in that text and talks about what? A crown of beauty, not ashes. You know, earlier in Isaiah, you may not know this, but in Isaiah chapter 3, verse 20, it talked about, in that text, about how the women had to remove the turbans, the headdresses they had. They were under judgment. And now he says, put it on. Put it on. This is a crown of beauty now. This is deck the halls. This is, I've come to rescue you. I've come to do what I promised you I would do in Isaiah 61. That turban goes back on. That headdress goes back on. That crown of beauty is there, not ashes. The oil of gladness. You know, olive oil was used in a lot of joyous kinds of occasions. Well, here it is. The oil of gladness, not mourning. Deck the halls. A garment of praise, not a spirit of despair. You know, in the old days when they were repenting of what they had done, they would wear sackcloth. And now he says, no, put on a garment of praise. Don't be in a spirit of despair. This is good news. Now, it comes to life for me in the New Testament. All this that is being shared here is fully and completely revealed in Jesus Christ. He was telling these folks while they were in despair, you have a reason. You will have a reason to deck the halls. He finishes that text, that portion of that text, by talking about the fact that because of all of this, we can stand like oaks of righteousness. I like that. Stand like oaks of righteousness. Why? Because not of our own righteousness, because we are a planting of the Lord. Ah, isn't that cool? My strength is not in me. My strength is in Jesus Christ. I can stand like an oak of righteousness because He forgave me for all my sin. And now I try to walk in righteousness, but I am a planting of the Lord. I'm not a planting of myself. And for those of you who think you're really goody-two-shoes and you're a really good person, you're really just a self-righteous piece of work, I'll tell you what, your righteousness is like filthy rags. But in Christ, we are like oaks of righteousness. We are a planting of the Lord. This is deck the halls stuff, folks. Not because of you and me. All because of Him. And it came to fruition, starting as a babe in Bethlehem and continuing on the resurrected Jesus Christ. We were created to display His splendor in our lives. Deck the halls, folks. You know what that means? Tell people, we've got good news. It's not good news that is temporary. It's not good news about a vaccine for COVID. That's good news. But that's not permanent. That's good news. This good news is permanent. So, folks, let's deck the halls with the good news of Jesus Christ. It can make anything look good if we just trust Him. Would you do that this morning? Amen. Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you that more than anyone in all the world, we have reason to be joyful because of what you have done. Not because of anything we have done, but because of what you have done. Thank you for coming. Like John shared in the Gospel in the New Testament, thank you for sending John the Baptist to come and let people know of the one who came. John wasn't it. There was one who was coming that was going to be the real answer. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. As we close our time together this morning, dear God, I pray as we leave this place that we know that our hearts have been decked to the hilt with the good news of Jesus Christ. And because our hearts have been decked, like decking the halls, others will know, others will see, and others will desire what it is that we have. Help us to be those oaks of righteousness. Help us to be that planting of the Lord. And may people look to you as they see your life lived out in us. In Jesus' precious name, amen.